above all kings.
Amazing.
Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphans a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who makes truth and justice shine like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Come on, let's just tell the Lord how worthy he is.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You're worthy. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Yes, Lord. Worthy is the King. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place.
Yes, Lord.
That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, our Savior, all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Is it on? Yeah. Okay. All right. You guys are going to be so sick of hearing from me, but I have to say this. We all know, most of us know, that my husband is military and went on annual training 2 weeks ago. Well, every time he goes on annual training, Tyson Hohner and Chuck Turner have to come and save me from something. And it's annual training, Murphy's Law. So this year, I had my best friend as a military wife staying with me, and she was having a crisis. And in the middle of this crisis, I go downstairs at midnight while we're discussing her crisis, and my basement is flooded. I have to go outside in the dark with a little bitty, itty, bitty flashlight to find a pipe that might be busted. I find what I think it is, come back the next day. That's not it either. I will say I'm thankful it wasn't sewage. It turns out that it was my hot water tank. And in this crisis, I had, when my friend is having her crisis and the Lord gives me mine, my shift focused off of her onto me. And so the next day after church, I'm with the, you know, rug doctor trying to suck up water out of the sopping wet carpet. And I'm going, God, what are you thinking? Why would you do this to me? It's AT. Don't you know this? And then he tells me, and this plays into what Annette said, what Lynette said. He tells me, honey, this ain't about you. This is not about you. And he gives me a reason of why it's going on. And he doesn't always do that, let me tell you. But this day he did. And when I changed my attitude about poor, pitiful me, why are you doing this to me? And he showed me he was using me as a blessing and as a strength for somebody else and as a witness for somebody else. When I changed my attitude, the situation got better. I got phone calls from friends who would come and help. I was able to get a hold of my husband, which is unusual in the middle of AT when they're out in the middle of the desert. So let me tell you something, folks. We've all been through stuff this week. Mine is minor. But when you change your attitude of poor, pitiful me, or what's going on with me, why is this happening to me, and you change your attitude to God, why is this happening? Show me what you're going to use it for. I will give it to you, and I will trust you. When you change that attitude, it gets better. And he doesn't always give us an explanation, but he will work it for his glory. We just have to put ourselves in that position, and we have to trust him. We have to be like King David and trust him in the battles and in the war in order for him to work in our lives and us to see the glory on the other side.
Our God is amazing. What do the words to that song just say? Our God is amazing. And if you don't think so, do an inventory. Yesterday morning, the Lord woke me up at 2. And he said, do you know... A second. Stephen. Do you know all I have done for you? Are you thankful for all I have done for you? Do you remember all I have done for you? I got up and I was on my knees, just reflecting over the past week, the things the Lord has done for me and for mine. So what has the Lord done for you? He died for us. We are healed by him. His love continues to grow in us. Mighty, mighty is the name of Jesus. Mighty, mighty is our Lord. So I encourage you to do an inventory of what the Lord has done for you and what the Lord has done for yours. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for each of us and what you're doing for our country and what you're doing for our nation and what you are about to do in our world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
After the morning, you bring joy. Out of the ashes, hope is born. And in the desert, your rain falls down. strength abounds. Yes, it does, Lord. Yes, it does, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, your hope is mine. Yes, it is, Lord, Jesus, Jesus. Your joy is mine, your peace, Lord Jesus, 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 your peace is mine.
Come on, just claim it for your life this morning.
Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, your love is mine. Here in your presence I come alive. Your light breaks through darkness has to hide. Yes, it does, the Lord.
Was bound, but you made me free.
Oh God, your grace poured out.
Your grace poured out upon me.
Yeah. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Oh Jesus, your hope is mine. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, your joy is mine.
Your peace, oh God,
Jesus, oh Jesus. Jesus, your peace is mine. I receive, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, your love is mine.
Bring it down, let's sing this to the Lord.
You rejoice over me. You rejoice over me. You rejoice over me, and I rejoice in you, my God. You rejoice over me, as you do, Lord. You rejoice over me. You rejoice over me, and I rejoice in you, my God. You rejoice over me, oh. You rejoice over me. You rejoice over me, and I rejoice.
Come on, sing it again to the Lord.
'Cause you rejoice over me, yeah. You rejoice over me. You rejoice over me, and I rejoice in you, my God. You rejoice over me. You rejoice. You rejoice over me, yeah. You rejoice over me, and I rejoice in you, my God. You rejoice over me, yes you do. You rejoice over me,
you rejoice over me,
and I rejoice in you, my God. You, my God, you, my God. Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus, your hope is mine. We receive it, Lord
Oh my Jesus. shelter of Almighty's love. In the safety of the Savior's arms. And I will run to the hiding place. And I will run to the hiding place. Draw me ever closer to look upon your face. I will run to the hiding place. I have found myself a hiding place. I have found myself a sacred space. In the refuge of the Father's care. In the cleansing blood of Jesus there. And I will run to the hiding place. I will run to the hiding place. Draw me ever closer to look upon your face. I will run to the hiding place. Though the world may overwhelm me and trouble, shelter of Almighty's love, in the safety of the Savior's arms. And I will run to the hiding place. Yes, I will run to the hiding place.
Hi. This is really hard for me. I didn't want to come up here. But I just really felt impressed by the Lord. There's a verse, a scripture in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And it talks about trusting in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And then, and also 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power, not ours, but his, is made perfect in our weakness. And one more. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know, I just memorized the 11 one. For I know the thoughts and the plans that I think towards you, says the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And this week, especially, has been very hard for me because there's someone very, very close and dear to my heart that is not with me right now. And she's not like out in the world drinking and all this stuff. But she's not with me. And the Lord has just, you know, through this church and through prayer, he's just really impressed on my heart that he's got it and that he is in control and that he just wants me to keep focused on him and not look back. You know, and he's just been really telling me just to trust in him with the situation and just give it to him constantly, and that's all I can do. You know, and I put on my Facebook, like, you know, gosh, when is this mess going to turn right? You know, when's it going to be right again? But, you know, he just reminded me of his faithfulness. And if I could say one word about God, he's faithful. And that he is just so faithful. You know, it says it in his word that he can't deny himself. And even when we're faithless, we're not going to church, we're not doing what we're supposed to do, he's faithful. You know, and I just really believe that God, he's here. His presence is so thick right when I walked in. It's here. And he just wants us to stay here, God. I'm here. I'm here to worship you no matter what's going on in my life. The fight I had with my husband, what's going on with my kids, you know, I'm here to worship you. And when we focus our eyes on him, then he's going to take care of everything else. You know, I've seen it time and time again where I thought I was going to die. He was like faithful to pick me up again and say, walk on. Walk on, child of God. So no matter what, you know, and I hope this ministered to you, because I really didn't want to come up here, but I wanted to be obedient to him. Because like Barb said, what has he done for us? I'm so thankful for what he's done for us. And Vicky, I will never get tired of hearing what God lays on your heart and what he tells you, you know. And so I just want to praise God that he's faithful and just trust in him. Love you guys.
You're my
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
We know. If we don't, we should know. That when the Lord breathed his last, when he was on the cross, the veil that separated us from heaven was rent in two. It was torn completely in two. And the Lord is showing me that some of us are standing on one side of the veil and don't believe that the Lord rent it for them. Some see it partway, some see just a small tear. When our Lord breathed his last, the veil rent in two for each one of us. And if you are doubting that that's for you, please close your eyes. See the Lord hanging on the cross. And imagine the veil in the sanctuary tearing in two. And on the other side of that veil is Father God sitting on the throne, welcoming each of us with open arms and his perfect love. Perfect love cast out all fear. See the veil. See the Father welcoming you into his arms.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
How many people came today with a need? Because he says, I am. If you have a need of peace, he says, I am the peace. If you have a need of healing, he says, I am. It's really very simple. You're in the presence of I am. What is your need? What is your need? All you need to do is open your mouth and tell him what your need is. You don't need to tell a human being. You need to tell your daddy, because he's here to fill every need. He was here long before you ever showed up, and he's just waiting to know what your need is and to fill it for you. He is the I am.
Was talking about, I come to thee. You have permission today to come into his throne room, to come and to be blessed, to come and have your every need filled. He's your authority, and he says, you have my permission. Come. Come.
you, Lord. Father, we just come to you today. As the one that, the only one that's going to truly meet these needs in our lives. Yeah, we can sometimes receive temporary fixes from the world. We can sometimes receive kind of a stay from the actual situation. But Lord, only you truly bring the answer to our needs in our lives. Father, right now, as you have been bidding us to come, we come in hearts of faith. We come in hearts of boldness and confidence, Lord, before your throne of grace, because of the veil that was rent, which was Jesus Christ's flesh that was torn for us. We come boldly to the throne of grace. We come boldly into your throne room right now, Lord. And we make requests, God, in our hearts, with our mouths, Lord, of the need in our life. Lord, you know our needs before we even mention them. You know every need in this house, every need that's represented in lives of members of family in this house, Lord. You know every need, God. You know the needs health-wise, Lord. Those that are sick, friends, God. Loved ones, co-workers, God. You know those needs, Lord. We come to you right now, Lord, and we ask you to meet every need, Lord, according to the riches of the glory of Christ. According to the suffering of your servant, what he's purchased for us, Lord, meet every need in this house. And Lord, for those who need an awakening of boldness, God, to come to you, need an awakening, Lord, of faith and confidence, Lord, that they can come to you anytime, any place, anywhere. Doesn't have to be church, doesn't have to be a certain song, doesn't have to be a certain time, Lord, in the service. God, they can come to you anytime. Just to be with you or to make requests, Lord. Father, we receive the word that's been released here today, God, that you're watching over us, that your hand of provision and protection is in our lives. We receive your word, Lord, that, God, when there's situations that come up that we don't understand, and we start focusing on those instead of the one that has the answer to what we're going through and has the reason to what we're going through. Father, we just thank you that you're doing a great work in us as your people. And we know you're not done. But Lord, we receive today the work of grace, the work of truth that you're accomplishing in us today. So we leave this place, Lord, we're more empowered, we're more equipped to be who you've called us to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, that we can call to you with need and you hear. And we're not just calling in the air. Our words somehow transcend this environment, this realm, and enter right into your throne room and touch your very heart. Thank you, Jesus, for making that way for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to just give a quick testimony of something that took place this week. Nick and I get together and on Thursdays and we play guitar, and I try. I'm learning. My wife says I'm great, but I mean that's, you know, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right? But anyway, so we were playing, and a lot of times, most of the time, the way that Nick is gifted with psalms, he'll just start singing a song of the Lord, and then we'll start praying. Most of the time, we pray for, you know, 15, 20 minutes during the whole time that we're together playing. And why I'm saying this is because I think the Lord is doing a new dynamic in our day. Now, maybe some of you say, well, I've done that before. Well, then maybe he's just awakening or digging up some old wells or something. But I want to encourage you to spend quiet time just listening to God. And what happened was is that the presence was so strong, I didn't feel any inclination to pray because I was just receiving. And, you know, Father God really is okay with just blessing us. He's really just okay with just bestowing on us his presence and his encouragement and his love. And that's what he did. And so, like, when the team was just playing, and I know, you know, church, we've been used to, you know, certain types of structures, certain types of patterns. And when it seems like you get out of those patterns, it's like, oh, what's going on now? You know, well, I'm just telling you, just chill and just receive and just rest in what the Lord's doing. And if you're not used to doing that, say, Father, help me to receive. Help me to just hear you. Because, you know, when you go outside of this place, how many of you know that you have noise going around you all the time? I'm not talking about just, you know, a car going down the street with the boombox on and they're, you know, they literally don't even have an engine. They just vibrate down the street. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of noise. I'm talking about the noise of life, all the thoughts that stop bombarding you, all of the issues and the things that you have to deal with come Monday morning. And they're right in your brain when you start, you know, leaving this place. You start focusing on, you know, what you have to do. And you know what? When you get an opportunity, just receive the peace of heaven, the peace of God. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. He's speaking to his disciples, speaking to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace, his peace, he gives to us. And to not let our hearts be troubled or let him be a fearful. His peace that he gives to us is not like the world gives, he said. It's not peace that is temporary. It is eternal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Didn't know where that came from. Children, why don't you come on up? It's your time. Oh, yes. Speaking of children, keys. And impact. I think impact is going down. Impact is going down. That's right. Impact, which is the junior high and teens. Junior high and high school. Yeah, come on down, guys. Come on down. All right. And I also have, while we're doing this, a nursery volunteer sheet to go around. And I want to go ahead and, let's see, I'll start on this side because you're closer to where I can hand it out. Please fill this out, your name, email address, phone number, or cell phone number. And you're signing up to help take care of our little ones. What's that? So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these lives. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in their hearts, Lord, for your good pleasure. Lord, I pray right now, God, that as they go down today, they receive your word of truth. And Lord, that the truth helps make them free, God. Makes them free, Lord, in such a way that they can live boldly for you, Lord. In their schools, with their friends, God. In their recreation time, in their jobs, Lord, they could live for you. And they could serve you in full truth, full awareness, God, of your goodness in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Say that again.
I just love the presence of the Lord. He is so good and so faithful to us. That's right. That's right. Well, it was a couple of weeks ago, maybe three, 4 weeks ago. I can't remember now. The Lord had me share on Romans 8:28. You guys remember that? Good. Can you tell me what I said? Somebody starts reading their notes. Yeah. Just quote the verse. Well, when I finish that, which I have a tendency to do a lot of times, is I'll read the word. Sometimes like right away after I've read it or after I've shared it. And immediately something came to me. I said, oh, I should have shared that. Well, I realized that it wasn't for that day. Really what Romans 8:28 day was about, just focusing on that. But today I want to do Romans 8:29. So I know you're going to say, how can he preach it? However long I'm going to preach on one verse. Well, we'll see what God does, but I want to call this, well, it could be one of three titles. One of them could be called Romans 8:29, which is pretty simple. Yeah, Jesse likes that title. I like easy titles, easy to remember. But that may not be it. It may be Conformed to the Image of Jesus, could be that title. Or then I threw out another one, You Can't Roller Skate in a Buffalo Herd. What do you guys vote on? You got to admit, that would definitely throw anybody off. That's the one Jesse's writing down. Can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. That's like an old song, and it just means basically you can't do this. But the sermon isn't about you can't do this, so I don't know if that's really appropriate. But it's funny at least, right? It's got some humor in there. But let's go up to Romans 8:28 and read that. And I think the true sermon title will be coming up in a second. Actually, it was one of four. Sorry, Jess. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I basically, in that sermon, almost broke out every Greek word there that had, other than the ones that are so obvious, like and. No, I think I did and on one of them. It was like, you're not going to believe this, but I'm doing and here. But the reason being is because it says so much in there. And I'm not going to do like a full recap. But I do want to make a point, which I thought was like one of the key. Well, there's actually two things. One is that in the all things, it is talking about that all in the sense of every part of our life that applies to God's will, applies to what God's trying to accomplish. And the working together means someone else is working with us. That it's not just the things that are working over here and somehow they make us into or make our situation into good. It's that we're cooperating, we're working hand in hand with God in this circumstance, in this trial, so that it turns out for our good. Now, what 29 says, and I think is so important, is it starts off with for. Whom? So the for is also translated because. So what we could say, and what the title of the sermon will be, Jesse, sorry if you thought you had it already, is why Romans 8:28 works. Why Romans 8:28 works. Remember we talked about that, why is it that sometimes things don't work together for my good, right? Sometimes things don't end up being good at the end. And you're wondering, like, is that verse true? Or how could good come from this? Well, I'm here to tell you that when you partner with God and you let what he wants to have take place in your life, it will turn out for good. Okay, so with that said, let's read 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. One more
verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, I'm not doing 30, but I may go back and read it later on and go, wow, I need to do that. You guys aren't laughing. Okay. I'll try it again. No, I won't do it again. But that word for could mean because. So, in other words, we know, we're confident, we know, we understand the way that God works. This is what Paul's saying. And that I'm convinced that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, because for this reason, in other words, and that reason is that to be conformed to the image of his son. Why things come in our lives, why we go through the trials, why we experience events in life is to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, God the Father has one real thing in mind when we're going through trials, so that when they're done and they have their complete work, we look more like Jesus. Not just outwardly, you know, in our actions, but inwardly. There's a more closer intimacy that we know with the Father, because we know we can trust him, because we know we can put our lives in his hands and they're going to be okay. Because we know that whatever he has said and spoken over us in the way of a promise, we can take that as true. And we can take him as being faithful, as we heard. It was amazing, the words that came out today. And thank you, sisters. Female brothers in Christ, you know what I mean. Sons of the women of God, but I'm just saying you women, you sons of God in the female class stood up and were counted today. I don't know how many men maybe had their hearts beating as well, but because of what you said, I believe this word will go in a greater strength and power. And you know what? We cannot get to the place where we think that someone's voice being heard is unnecessary, or what they have to say maybe isn't of the same significance as someone else's. Because it's not just the thing that they say, it's the obedience of them coming up. See, the obedience releases a greater level of God's glory. The obedience releases a greater anointing for somebody else to be released. And it could be that a word was given today that opened up the door for another word to be given. And then that word was opened up a door for another word to be given. And maybe some of you are from places where I'm not used to hearing that. I'm used to just seeing people sing. You have a certain person that gets up and they're the chosen one and they can give the word or the message that the Lord wants us to hear. And then, you know, maybe there's someone else that'll do a sermon. And if that's what you're used to, God can work through that. But I'm here to tell you, there's an anointing that breaks yokes. I don't know what I'm getting in this teaching, but it must be necessary. There's an anointing of God that can break yokes. And yokes are chains, they're bondages, they're shackles, they're things that have come into our lives, sometimes because of our own choices, other times because of what others have put on us. And when you have that anointing that comes from freedom and liberty and the word of the Lord being released, you know what? Chains are being broken. I would bet that today, some of you sitting here, you don't even know what happened to you. I guarantee it that there's things that have been broken off of people's lives here today that you didn't feel fuzzy, you didn't feel warm, you didn't feel like oil was over you, but a Holy Spirit work came in and divinely has set you free from something. And it may be months before you realize it. And you may not even be able to equate that it was this service that did it. You say, Pastor Mike, how can you say that? Because I know God. And I know that where the anointing is, and there was anointing here today, yokes are broken. So that may be you. And you may be able to walk in a new freedom and a new liberty that you've never experienced before. And you can thank your sisters in Christ who are obedient some being fearful, some being a little hesitant, but still, Teresa, thank you. Coming up here, and even though it didn't feel right in their gut, and releasing what they had, and it helped break yokes. Does that make sense? Give the glory to God. It's not the people. It's God working in our midst. For whom he foreknew. Listen, this foreknew is amazing. Those he had intimate knowledge of and close relationship to before. See, we think we know God from the time we get saved. I'm here to tell you, God knew you before you were born. And somehow God knew you in his eternal existence. He was intimate with you before you were intimate with him. Well, you think about that. He had an intimacy with you to the place he does rejoice over you with singing before you even had any intimacy with him. Before you were aware of having intimacy with him, he had intimacy with you. That means while you were yet still a sinner, walking out in your ways, doing your things, God had an intimate heart towards you. Wow, that's a good God. Those he foreknew, those he had a love for, he had a cherishing for, those he foreknew, he predestined. He also predestined. That means before time was established, listen to this. Before time was established, he set borders and horizons for you. We're talking about a God who's been thinking about you a long time. We're talking about a God who is into you. He's into you. You may have, you know, someone that you're into, you know, maybe it's a new love in your life and you like experiencing time with them and stuff. Well, I'm telling you what, God's more into you than they were or than you are to them. He's into you. And he, before time began, somehow has set up a place for you to walk in him. A place for you to be something in him. And he's predestined it. He has before time set up borders and horizons. That word has a connection in the Greek. It's two words, and one of them means horaz. And it's where we get our word horizon. You know, and what do you look to the horizon? You look at the horizon, you see kind of the end of all that you can see, right? If you can't, you usually can't see past the horizon unless you're seeing, you know, like the sky or the stars. But it's a border. He set up a place for you to walk. It says in another scripture that we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're created in Christ Jesus. Now, somehow, even before you were saved, get this now, you were created in Christ Jesus. You're saying, well, how could that be? How could I be created in Christ Jesus before I was even saved? Remember, he's intimate with you even before you're saved. He knew you before you knew him. So before you're actually in Christ, there's still somehow we're created in Christ Jesus. It's an eternal work. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, it really was as if he's died for all of eternity. It's like the cross spans time and space. The cross is not limited to 2,000 years ago. In a way, Jesus was slain in the very heart of the Father before anything was created. Jesus was already dying on that cross. See, and he's predestined us. He's established borders and guidelines and a horizon for us to walk in. And I believe that it's about being made into the image of Jesus. See, if we can realize, and I said this that time that I was preaching on Romans 8:28, we realize that good is designed in the bad. That through the bad, it's meant for good to be coming. And if we can realize that good that's coming truly isn't a circumstance or a situation, but it's us fulfilling, us receiving this borders and horizon, this life that's already been set before us,
for the workmanship that we've been created to, there's works for us to walk in that have been preordained, have before time been established for us to do. And the main work is for us to be like Jesus, conformed to his image. Now, does that mean that we're all going to have nice beards and long hair? Women, you're going to be in trouble, right? If that's the case. No, this image of Christ is inside of us. It's like we think like him and we walk like him and we see like him and we hear like him. But we don't do that with nothing going bad, without anything. Okay, let me say it again. We will not do that if we have nothing but good in our life. If it's all smooth sailing. With no suffering, no glory. He said again, with no suffering, there will be no glory. With suffering will come glory. With trials will come triumph. With heartaches will come heaven. See, as we receive the bad, embrace it, kind of like Mickey saying, Lord, I don't know why this is not good. It's like, you know, it's a mess and she's doing it and it's like, why'd you do this to me? Instead of questioning God in his sovereignty, you know, and some would say, well, it's just a coincidence, you know, that hot water tank, you know, just went. They just do that. And you could be as, you know, ignorant as I would say you need to be and say that that was just a coincidence and miss the glory of God in it. Because I believe everything in our life, folks, everything in our life has a divine purpose if we would let it. Everything. If we would let it. If we would give opportunity to Lord to let those horizons and borders that he's established for us manifest in our life. Does that make sense or am I? Okay. So listen, he foreknew us. Those he had intimate knowledge of and close relationship to, he also predestined us before time, established borders and horizons that are specific for us. See, my borders and horizons aren't the same as yours. And in a way, my image of Christ that I'm going to be isn't the same as you. See, a lot of times we judge people on how much Christ they have based on what others do or what we think we do. And we think, well, because you're not acting like me, you must not have the same fullness of Christ, or you must not be manifesting, or you must not have the same understanding as I do. And we put on people, or we judge people based on what we see others doing. That's comparing others to others, and that's not wise. Now, I'm not talking about judging fruit. I'm talking about the internal work of Christ and saying, well, because you're not like me, or you're not like them, then you must not have the fullness working in you. That's dangerous. Because the image of Christ that's in me is me. And the image of Christ that's in you is you. It's still your character. It's still your personality. It's, you know, we're not all going to walk and talk like robots and sound and look alike. And now we're in the image of Christ. That's not what it's happening here. And that's not what's supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen is the individual that God created me to be. And believe me, I'm an individual. I have my quirks. I have my shortcomings. Oh, yeah. Jesse knows them well. My wife knows them even better. Some of you know them. Some of you have complained about them. But who I am, who God made me to be, just as God made me. You guys know Mrs. Doubtfire, you know that line. Anyway, just as he made me, now Christ comes in and takes what he made me, and that nature now comes out in who I am. So is it going to be any different in you? No. some of us will exhibit more compassion of Christ because that's part of who he made us, even before Christ. How many have ran into people who don't know Jesus at all right now, but they're full of compassion? They see someone, they've fallen down, they're getting Band-Aids, they're calling 911, and God made them that way. Now wait till Jesus comes in and the compassion of Christ now takes over that vessel. They're going to be like Mother Teresa in India because it's going to be on steroids. Is this making sense? Because really, I don't know why I'm there, but it's good. Oh, borders and horizons, that's right. Specific for us. In other words, what God has preordained for us to walk in and what borders and horizon he set up are specific for us. They're for us. Paul had his. Timothy had his. Peter had his. They all had Christ in them. They were all manifesting his glory to different levels, but they all let him work through them, but they all had different personalities. We're a body of believers. Can you imagine if a body all looked like heads? Yuck. That thing's not going to get around very well. It just doesn't make sense. Yet, in the body of Christ for years, we thought we had to dress alike, smell alike, think alike, believe exactly the same things. Listen, even believing differently is not wrong. Because the belief, if it's based on truth, if it's based on truth, just because one has a revelation right now that the other one doesn't, is not a bad thing. Yet, we've come up with, we got to divide and keep these things separate so we don't intermingle or intermarriage. I don't know. I mean, you know, and that's kind of what churches become, these little vessels of different belief systems, and we think that we couldn't work together in that. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming in now, in these days. He's saying, you know what? I'm going to take all of you and I'll make something beautiful out of all of you. Because I'm in you, the Spirit of truth. All right, I must go on. So listen, he has borders and horizons that are specific for us so that we can be conformed. Now, this word conform means we're sharing the same inner essence or identity or form. Now, the word conformed usually means image, and it was used like in Revelation where it was talking about a statue in the image of the beast. So it sometimes gets translated that it's just an outward appearance, but as it is for Christ, that makes no sense. It's an inner working. And we're going through crisis. We're going through trials. We're going through struggles. We're going through things we hate to be made into that image, to be conformed, to have that essence of who he is in us come alive. See, the fullness of God is in you. What did he just say? The fullness of God is in you. It's in you, but it's not fully activated. See, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we don't receive, and I know Chef Lodollar did this. He was cutting up pieces of paper and putting them, you know, and saying, here, you know, you have this and you have that, and we all have, you know, some of the same paper. It's not like that. Somehow, he gives us all a connection to that paper. We all have the same fullness of page. Do you see what I'm saying? No, you don't. I can see it. I'm half confused because hang on. Let me try to show you what I'm talking about here. Okay, this is really, forgive me, Holy Spirit. Let's say this is Holy Spirit here. It's white at least. Like a dove. I don't know. Anyway, so we have Holy Spirit here. And what some people think is this is what happens. That when you receive Jesus, Holy Spirit is given here. Now, what happened to Holy Spirit? And how much of the Holy Spirit does she have? Well, she has some, and I've got some. But, you know, if I was just to divide Holy Spirit here among all of us, then it's kind of fractured, right? Well, that's not what takes place. Here's Holy Spirit in his fullness, and he's given to you. And while he's given to you, you still have him. Now, that's really weird, right? Because I took him, right? But you still have him. Now, she has him as well. And while you still have him, you have him as well. He's not divided. He's not separated. We have, and Holy Spirit is the fullness of God. He's the fullness of God. All that God the Father has, it's in John, is Jesus has. All that Jesus has, what did he do? Gave the Holy Spirit. All that Holy Spirit has, what did he do? Give to us. And it's in us. Holy Spirit is not divided. We have the fullness of God. So inside of us is this nature, this divine nature waiting to come alive. Guess how it comes alive? Well, it comes alive with the Word of God, comes alive with prayer, but guess what is activated? Or what activates prayer? I mean, sure, you can say, well, I pray because I just want to get closer. Most of the time, it's struggles, it's trials that activate prayer. What activates the Word to come alive in us? Pressures. You know, it's usually a situation comes up. Oh, what's that verse? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now the verse is coming alive to you as the pressure and the trial comes. Listen. This conforming to his image is that same inner essence or identity. That's why we become sons and daughters of God. We start showing the same similar behavior from having the same essential nature. Wow. Now, why am I saying all this? Because it sounds really good. It's because, or it's explaining Romans 8:28. The next time you say, yes, I know the situation, for all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, don't end there. Because God knew me beforehand, and God loved me. He was intimate with me somehow. And he had this divine plan that he set up for me to walk in. And this has now come into my life for good so that I can receive and be conformed to this divine nature of Christ. Okay, listen to this. The image of, it's a mirrored likeness, a prototype of, his son that he might be the firstborn, the first birth child. Now we know that Jesus has always existed. But when it comes to the sons of God, he's the firstborn. And when I say the sons of God, I mean the new creation. He's called the second Adam. How many of you know that Adam was a child of God? He was formed out of the dust of the earth, but God breathed his heavenly life into him. His divine life went into Adam. When Adam exhaled, he exhaled divine air. You guys want to hear an amazing teaching on worship? I've got it for you. I can tell you where to listen to it. It's crazy because it talks about Adam's first breath was like worship to God because it was the very air and breath that God put in Adam. Adam expelled out and released God's glory. And so when we worship, we're still worshiping somehow with that same breath. You say, well, I don't have the exact same breath. Well, in a way you do. You're breathing because God allowed you to breathe. And every time you breathe worship, it's like saying, God, thank you for giving me air in my lungs. Now I give what you put in my lungs back to you. Now I'm trying to remember why I'm here. Yes. So Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. What does that mean? That means that somehow after Adam fell, God, well, actually I said it was before the foundation of the earth. He planned for Jesus Christ to come and redeem mankind, buy us back, and reestablish us as children of God. Adam and Eve fell, not just into sin, but they fell out of relationship with the Father. They were still children, but they were like separated. It's like something came in and moved them to a new location. They walked and talked with him. They had heavenly experiences with him here on earth. And when sin came, they were like plucked out of his presence. So Jesus came back, firstborn among many brethren. He came, he dies, he's resurrected. And that glory that he receives, guess what? We now walk in. We walk in that same glory. It says this right here. It says that he was the firstborn among many brethren in the company of a multitude of brothers and sisters. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Just as he, through suffering, was glorified. Guess what? Through suffering, through problems, through situations in our lives that we don't like, we take on glory because we take on his nature. I wish it was different. I wish I could just say, guys, leave here today in his full divine nature and you walk out and it's done. But it doesn't happen that way. How many of you have ever lifted weights? I have before. It's no fun. Push-ups can be a bummer. It's hard. It's hard. It takes, you know, breaking down of your muscles to build them up. So guess what? Think of these trials as a weight that you're carrying. And that when it's all said and done, a new spiritual image is going to be there. And guys, if you don't think this way, and praise God that he reminded you of that, Vicky. If you don't think this way, the trial will overwhelm you. You'll get caught up in the trial, and you'll miss the glory that God wants to achieve in it. I believe that through God's grace, even if we miss it for a while, he can bring us back to the place where good can still come from it. But why let it tarry? Why let it be a thing that we deal with for years and years before we finally say, oh, I get it. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. It's about his glory. It's not about mine. It's not about my comforts. It's about his crowning, that he's crowned in my life. So that's attitude that you were talking about. It's mindset. It's heavenly perspective. And when we get it, guess what? Then when we go through situations and trials, the world says, and they may say it now, but they'll say it even more, what do they have that I don't have? Because they're like saying, thank you, Lord, in this. And they're meaning it. They're not just giving it lip service. Because it's the truth. He has set up a plan for your life. He set up boundaries and horizons. He set up borders for you to fully fill. That you, in other words, that you totally fulfill his will in your life. And his number one will for you is that you're conformed to the image of his son. That Jesus' character and nature literally become who you are. Amen. Can we embrace that? Can we say thank God for Romans 8:28? And thank you, Lord, for Romans 8:29, which explains why we have to go through 8:28. It's one thing to take 8:28 on faith, but realize that his whole intention is to glorify his son in your life. And when that happens, fulfillment is yours. Joy is yours. Peace is yours. Didn't we just sing about that? Jesus, oh Jesus. Your joy is mine. Your peace is mine. Your love is mine. Your hope is mine. Why? Because you're letting him have his perfect work in you. But if you're not letting Jesus have his perfect work in you, it's hard for his joy to be yours. It's hard for his hope to be yours. As much as he wants it to be yours, it's hard. It's tough. And I see lives out here that have been handcrafted by God Almighty, by heaven itself, and that he has a work in you right now that some of you don't even realize that will be to his glory and to your fulfillment. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word is truth and it's alive, Lord. Make your word fully alive in us, God. Help us, Lord, to remember that you are working everything for our good because we love you and we are the called according to your purpose. Your purpose of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. To be looking and smelling just like you. That when we walk into a room, Lord, you're the one that they look to. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
After the morning, you bring joy. And out of the ashes, hope is born. And in the desert, your rain falls down. And in my weakness, your strength abounds. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus.